Three, two, one. Good evening. Welcome to another exciting class in Ever Increasing Word Training Center. I'm your instructor, Dr. Walker, once again. Catching the waves of revival is this class, and today we're going to dive right into chapter number two. As always, we're so thankful for the opportunity to share these classes with you up under the leadership of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. Remember, Prosperity Revival is next week, November 1st through the 5th. And I want you to make sure, as students, you are tuned in. Not just because it's a requirement of the school, but because you would do yourself a disservice by not connecting to the apostolic mantle and the apostolic gift in Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. These words, money cometh, is the words that have separated him. You know, a lot of people call themselves apostle, but I study a lot of the Word of God. In order for you to have that type of mantle, God must give you a special message to touch the entire body of Christ. And I don't have time to get into all that, but just know that money cometh are not regular words. Money cometh are both apostolic and prophetic. And when the seed of money cometh is properly sown into our souls, we will be able to manifest money cometh and advance God's agenda. Well, chapter number two is characteristics of the end time revival. Tonight we're going to deal with characteristics of the end time revival. Number one has to do with spiritual timing. God's time is precise in every output. Timing is described as kairos, which is a specific and appointed time in God. It's a specific and it's an appointed time in God. God moves on time, and spiritual timing is the key to spiritual harvest. Notice that spiritual timing is the key to spiritual harvest. Let me talk to you about God. God is always accurate and precise in his timing. All through the scriptures, numbers are used just to show you how precise God is. Like Pentecost is 50. 50 is Pentecost. Jesus, after the resurrection, showed himself alive by many infallible proofs to the apostles whom he had trained. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he showed himself alive. But then he told them, he said, I've trained you, but do not depart from Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus knew that when he ascended and took a seat at the right hand of the Father, that he would send back in 10 days the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost showed up exactly on the day of Pentecost, which is 50. So I did that to show you that to everything, according to Ecclesiastes, to everything, there is a time and a season attached for every purpose under heaven. God is never behind time. God is always on time. And if you really understand the scriptures, it's already done. The foundation, God completed his work before the foundation of the world was ever laid. That's something for you to know. So spiritual timing is important with God. So don't ever let the enemy frustrate you with timing. Don't go ahead of God. Just walk in line with him, and everything will work out as you hear and obey. Come on, let's go. Number two, spiritual preparation. So number one, spiritual timing, but spiritual timing must be coupled with spiritual preparation. God cannot move unless man has taken the time to prepare himself. In accordance, not only just prepare ourselves, but prepare ourselves in accordance with God's word. Notice this, the fire came from heaven after the prophet Elijah had built the altar according to God's word. See, God is the one who instructed Elisha to construct that altar, put that wood in there, build a trench for water. Are you listening? Then after the prophets of Baal, after calling all day long, and the prophet Elijah said, what's wrong? You got a God who have ears and he can't hear? You have a God who have eyes and he can't see? You have a God who have a mouth and he can't speak? You have a God who have hands and he can't touch you? Go ahead on, act a fool out here. But when Elijah got ready to call on his God, he said, fill the trenches up with water. The God who answered by fire, that's the real God. And so he did all of that. Watch this. Here's the key thing. In accordance with God's word. The rain came after Noah had built the ark. In accordance to God's word. The apostles prepared themselves before the day of Pentecost. In accordance to the prophetic revelation. They prepared themselves, now pay attention, they prepared themselves both individually and corporately. Jesus, according to God, before the revival broke forth, they prepared themselves individually and corporately before the revival broke forth. Jesus gave them certain instructions. Even though Jesus sent them out in Matthew 10, 2x2, and he sent them and gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead. You know about all these things. But Jesus told them, he said, listen, you are not equipped to go out yet. You must be endued with power from on high. The same Holy Ghost that came upon me. Jesus had the Spirit both within and upon. That same Holy Ghost, I need for you to go to the upper room and prepare yourselves, because you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And that same Holy Ghost is going to cause you, when you fellowship and are intimate with him, will cause you to be able to do the very works that I do. Because when I go to my Father, I'm going to send you another comforter of the same sort or kind as I am. And when you embrace him, then you will be able to do ministry even as I do it, because you have the exact same spirit that I have. They prepared themselves in prayer with one accord and with unity and in establishing leadership structure among themselves according to God's divine purpose. Human responsibility is essential to revival. They is the key word, and it clearly defines the corporate responsibility and response before the revival came. They, not me, they. Number three, spiritual outburst. Though the apostles were expecting the revival, they were still taken by surprise. So suddenly and powerfully, God intervened in the spiritual destiny of his church. It happened so quickly and so suddenly that people were caught unawares. The sudden divine shock tactic of the Father is to remind men of their vulnerability before an awesome God. What does that mean? In God's sovereignty, he does not need man's permission to do what he does. He's God. We submit to his sovereignty. Are you listening? Absolute power, absolute authority. Go ahead. The effect of the sudden working of the Holy Spirit is very striking in the conviction of the sinner and the awakening of the saints. That's a very important statement. Because we must not preach a powerless gospel. You know, we have so much technology available to us. But let me tell you something. Technologies should not and cannot replace the power of God. In revival, the power of God is in manifestation and demonstration so that the faith of the people will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. As Paul said in all of his writings, the only thing I want people to be confident of is this one thing. I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. So the life that you are experiencing, the life that you see me living, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by resurrection power. I live by divine connection with the Father and the Son through the person of the Holy Spirit. In so much that when you see me, you've seen the Father and the Son being manifested in my life by the power of the Holy Ghost. So Paul could say in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not in word only, but in power and in much assurance and in the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5, you read it. That's why we got to have demonstrations and manifestations of God's power so that people will not look to us. The Bible says with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the power is to bring into people's focus and mind that this power is not of us. It is of the Father who sent us, and he gets the glory. Whenever Jesus healed and manifested his glory in the earth realm, people would give glory to God. Glory to God. And that's what we have to get back to. Not making superstars out of the men who have the power, but giving the power to the real power, the Holy Ghost. No man can do anything without the power of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. 4, spiritual liberty. The Holy Spirit, who fell from heaven, had full liberty to move and to direct the people as he chose. He was allowed to move in any direction, and the Holy Spirit's spontaneous work spread so quickly from one person to another. in. It seeks to fulfill God's eternal purpose by gathering spiritual momentum in the hearts of those who obey. Revival follows God's divine agenda by gathering spiritual momentum, and divine momentum will take you through. Now, I love that example. I love that. Spiritual and divine momentum will take you through the curve of the enemy. Now, you think about how many people you've heard either in the news or through word of mouth that they were driving a vehicle at such a high rate of speed that the force, the momentum of the car took them through the curve. So instead of them turning, because of the momentum, they went right through the curve. They crashed. But in this scenario, when the enemy is trying to throw us a curve to take us off of God's purpose, God's plan, and God's agenda, because of spiritual and divine momentum, we follow and practice the spiritual law of continuance as it pertains to revival. What does that mean, Dr. Walker? We don't deviate from the right to the right or to the left. We stay in the center of what God told us to do. And that cannot happen without hearing and obeying. Number five, spiritual presence. In every revival, the manifested presence of God pricks and convicts the hearts of men. God is honored and he's held in holy respect. God consciousness fills the heart of men and it creates an awareness of sin. God becomes visibly and audibly present among his people in manifestations of true revival, brings an overwhelming sense of God's presence that brings conviction of sin and salvation to the unregenerated man and a transformation of life. You see that so accurately in the life, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and more specifically, as you read the book that we call the Acts of the Apostles, I would like to call it the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. Because without the Holy Ghost, the apostles wouldn't have known what to do. How you know that, Dr. Walker? Because Jesus told the men that he was training, when you go before kings, when you go before rulers of nations and judges, whoever you go before, I don't want you to think. I don't want you to have some preconceived idea of what you're going to say and what you're going to do. The Holy Spirit, in the very moment that you need him to, will give you what words to say and what you need to do. That's the nitty gritty. On the day of Pentecost, remember? The one they call Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times. You remember when Peter said, Jesus, though everybody deny you, I'm not going to deny you. I'm ready to die for you. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crow twice, you're going to deny me thrice. And you know what happened. You know what happened. Peter cussed and everything. But I want you to know, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost invaded his life, that he became a different man. And it was Peter who stood up with the 11 and began to preach on the day of Pentecost. and the anointing, and the anointing by reason of the Holy Ghost was so strong in his life that as he preached, they said unto him, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto them, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? What must we do? Why? Because that anointing brought forth conviction that the head of the church is no longer in a grave. He's alive. And he's alive here with us. And we come to manifest it. Okay. Number six, spiritual vessels. This is one of the characteristics of true revival. God takes over ordinary human lives to do extraordinary work in the community of men. God needs prepared vessels who he can anoint with his power and to help fulfill his purpose on and in the earth realm. God's strategy is to prepare that man and that woman to impact and to affect the world. Now, I want to say something about number six, because you see, a lot of time we read the Bible and we're not really fully getting what God said. You know, in St. John chapter number two, the first miracle that Jesus performed, when the mother of Jesus said, they have no wine, Jesus said, what have I to do with that? And Mary ignored Jesus because she had pondered in her heart what the angel spoke to her concerning him. She saw what he did when he was 12 years old, how that because he was a child of the Holy Ghost, that he was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. So when Mary told Jesus they have no wine, I believe Mary heard from God. And when Jesus said, woman, what I got to do with that? They have no wine. Mary looked at the servants and said, whatsoever he say to you, do it. Why? Because she knew there was a miracle attached to it. And what did Jesus do? Jesus told those men there were six water pots full of stone. Six water pots full of stone. Are you listening to me? And Jesus said, fill the pots with water. Oh, y'all don't catch it. Six is the number of man. Are you listening? Man, before the new birth, had a stony heart. Hearts of stone. Are you listening? A mind that was not receptive to God's word. Jesus said, fill up the man, fill up the water, fill up the pots with water. I know you don't know, but water is a type of the word in the Bible. Uh-huh. They got full of the word, but it wasn't enough for the men to be full of the word. Are you listening? Eventually, through obedience, the water turned to what? Wine. Oh, come on now. What was the wine? Oh, you got the. It was the wine of the Holy Ghost. Those six water pots that had a stony heart now has a heart of flesh and can be led by the Spirit. Isn't that something? And that's what's happening today. Water pots are still being filled with water. That's being filled with new wine, because old wineskins cannot handle the new wine that God is pouring out in this day. Go ahead. Number seven. Spiritual manifestation. The Holy Spirit will begin to allow the manifestation of his gifts and to allow power to break forth in our lives. The power of the Spirit is made manifested in any revival, in healings, signs, wonders. Signs, wonders. gifts of the Holy Ghost, the calling cards of the church. Number eight, spiritual impact. There's no true revival if there's no visible manifestation in society. It results in spiritual growth, miracle growth, new spiritual growth and numerical growth, and material growth, and growth in, that's true revival. All those things are manifested in what? True revival. A great spiritual harvest of souls is seen in true revival. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, there were added unto the church 3,000 souls. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 4, the number of the men was about 5,000. In Acts chapter number 5, verse 14, multitudes both of men and women were added to the church. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, true revival. The word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied, and even the priests. Number nine, spiritual ministries. Spiritual ministries are birthed during revivals. They are birthed by reason of continuous connection. Consistent followers receive spiritual quickening and promotion. They enter into a new dimension of power and of honor with God and with men. These ministries are provided with God's wisdom to establish God's kingdom on the earth. They are basically apostolic in nature. They consolidate the corporate experiences of the church by establishing church structure and providing wisdom for the proper functioning of the church. Only apostolic wisdom and prophetic insights can lay the proper foundation to establish the church in the midst of revival and to develop the church in the midst of revival. Number 10, spiritual strategies. We need to know divine strategies that God will use in our generation. God knows the weakest link in the satanic kingdom that's over our cities. Immense power concentrated in one small spot can create breakthroughs which were previously thought as impossible. What is God giving to the church in this city? The type of strategy will depend upon the type of community God wants to reach. The only way to shut the gates of hell is to open the door of heaven. God awakens the church through revival to his divine resources. The church that is asleep is often out of touch with the world of reality. It is often deceived about its own spiritual state. It lacks the cutting edge to strike at the weakest link of the satanic kingdom. The primary effects of the revival is the reviving and the revitalization of the saints. And it is the gathering of spiritual momentum to affect the sinners. The quickening of the saints is the roots, and the conversion of the sinners is the fruits. Well, we'll see you next time on next evening. We'll go further into catching the waves of revival. Enjoy your evening.